There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. It's a Tuesday night. Today's date is the 21st of October, 2014, and it is just about a minute or so after the hour of 8 o'clock. As you might have heard on last week's live broadcast, Jim's going to be traveling, so he's not in the barn tonight. You've got me and my brown dog, Ranger. So we're going to, it's new information, and actually technically, even though it's pre-recorded, it's live. Myself and Ranger were in the barn making sure that tonight's broadcast goes smoothly and that it's streaming just fine. So if you'd want to send a text message or an email, please do let us know that you're listening. I can respond to the emails. I just can't respond to the text messaging. The way you contact the show is on the show's website on the contacts page. And Jim, what did we want? What do you want to talk about? Because I'm not really clear. I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff just now, but
well, we're going to start talking about respect and honor, and maybe bring in a definition that kind of, I think, it will enlighten people, because it did me as we were talking earlier. And then all of a sudden, remember, as we were talking, everything just seemed to fit together and come right back around to respect and honor, what it really means.
Okay. So you want to talk about how, well, you asked me a question about respect and honor. We should probably start with that question.
Yeah.
What was your question when you walked into the barn tonight to record the show for next week?
I said I'd like to talk about respect and about honor, because I'm sure and I know that they have something to do with experiencing God. And then the conversation went different than I thought, because we've always kind of looked at respect and honor as what will help you to have an experience with God, instead of what we learned tonight, which was the respect and honor comes from your experience with God.
Yeah, it's someone who really honors someone or something, someone who really respects someone or something, it has special meaning to them. They've experienced something. They've witnessed something. I gave you an example before the show started. Whether it's the police, the fire, the paramedics, a hospital, a veterinarian, a restaurant, a tire store, a muffler shop, a shoe store, it really doesn't matter. You'll get the point.
Right.
There's two people that live next to each other, and somebody has a wonderful experience. The fireman saved the day. The policeman caught the bad guy. The restaurant gave them the best food ever. Whatever the case may be, they have nothing but good personal experiences. And that gives them, that's the seed. That's the seed that is sowed, is that positive experience that gives them a common denominator, a familiarity with whoever did something that made them great or saved their lives. And so they have an honor, they have a respect for that person or that organization. Well, there's always a flip side. The next door neighbor, maybe they got food poisoning at the restaurant. Maybe the shoes fell apart and the store wouldn't take them back. Maybe the police never caught the person. Maybe the fire department never showed up in time to put the fire out. Whatever the case may be, their personal experience is negative or none at all. There's no reason to have honor and respect because they have nothing to associate honor and respect with. Or maybe it's not that they had a bad experience. They've had no experience at all. So they have a conceptual honor, a conceptual philosophical belief of respect and honor because in their mind's eye, in their imagination, it's a positive person or a positive organization. But yet when push comes to shove, they really don't have anything tangible to base that on, good or bad. Now, think of it this way. If you go to a religious organization and you worship the guys, you honor the guys, you respect the guys, but yet there's no productivity, there's no advancement in your relationship. At some point, there's going to be a time where someone, hopefully, is going to say, what am I honoring? What am I respecting? It's a hollow victory at best. Most people have somebody that they honor and respect in their lives. It might be a coworker, a friend, a relative, a neighbor, someone that has made a note in their heart and mind. And the reason they honor and respect that person is because they have tangible evidence that fuels the fire of honor and respect. They have memories. They have stories. They have scars. They've got photographs or videos. They've got hard evidence of a connection, of an interaction with that person that has garnered, that sowed that seed of honor and respect that grew into the tree of honor and respect. So think of it this way. If you're honoring and respecting Christ, what is that based on, Jim? Is it just the words in the book?
Right, right.
Is it where you worship? Because that has no depth to it.
Right. Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why we see so many, as soon as things get tough, we see so many turn and run the other way. They throw up the flag of surrender and retreat to plan B, to another option, because there's nothing tangible there. We've learned in so many services and well-meaning services of lifting our hands and honoring and giving praise to God, which God is due the praise and the honor. And that's true. In fact, over in Revelation, we have such a beautiful picture of the 24 elders, the 24 elders that are gathered around the throne that praise and worship God and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, for thou hast strength and honor and majesty," and so on and so forth. We see a beautiful picture of praise and worship. But folks, we were never supposed to be just worshiping and praising God as though he was not real. This was always supposed to be something that was tangible, where there was a relationship that had begun, and there were experiences that were gained, and therefore our honor and our respect of the individual that we've just met and just gotten to know becomes something of tangibility, something of substance. Even when you think about it, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So your faith has substance because your faith is in a God that you know, a God that you experience, a God in whom you begin to, on a daily basis. In fact, all this starts to come around now as we begin to share different thoughts each and every week. But it continues to come around to some of the central focus and truth of this radio show. And that is, what's the possibility that we could be experiencing God all the time? My mother and I were sharing some things. She's probably listening to the show tonight, but we were sharing some things this afternoon, and I'll just share these couple of thoughts. As we were sharing, I was making mention of how we've all learned in places called churches. We've all learned to study so hard. And of course, Paul talked to Timothy, a young minister, and said, study to show yourself approved, being a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we've studied so hard and we've endeavored to pray so hard. But if you really think of the reason and the motive behind the study and behind the prayer, it was always, and it's usually always, to receive a benefit, a blessing from the Lord, a healing, or finances. Or in other words, we study hard, we pray hard to get out of a jam that in one sense you could say we put ourselves into. And there are some that study hard and pray hard because they really do want to know God. But my point is, if we, like last week, if we know there's a God, if we know he has a son, if we know he sent him to the earth and he died, he rose again, and he was raised up to heaven, and there he sits, raising us up to be one with him, to experience his Father. If we know these things, then why isn't that enough to begin to experience them? Why must there be so much more? So my mom and I were sharing, and as I was making light of this and just revealing, look at how we've all been trained so much to put so much time in before we're ready to experience God. I said the difference of what we're learning on the radio show is that from the very moment you accept Christ as Savior, you can begin to experience him that very moment. And each and every day, you can, without even having great knowledge of the Bible, not to say that knowledge isn't wonderful, but without even having great exegesis and knowledge and theology behind you, you can begin to notice grace everywhere, because grace has been afforded to everyone. This is a dispensation of the grace of God. So this is really a part of our topic tonight where we're really wanting to go right back to the central focus of the word respect and honor and bring back some thoughts that really lead to us having such a wonderful experience with God. Here's an interesting thought here. Again, I relay to you multiple individuals who have said to me, when I first accepted Jesus as Lord, I began to have the Lord speak to me all the time. In fact, they said, I really got to the place where I was in my own room and I didn't know too much, but I'd get in the presence of God and I'd just feel him come into the room and his presence come. And then I'd begin to just pray and God would speak to me. And the voice of God that spoke to me was so real, but it didn't last. And I say, well, why didn't it last? Well, I went to church, and it didn't take long going to that church before I've really not had an experience like that in a long time. How long's it been? And we've had people literally say 25 years. So what I'm sharing with you is everything about what's normal with your relationship with God is enjoying him and experiencing him. And this is why we bring up the subject of respect and honor.
Well, if you look at Genesis, there's a evidence of honor and respect that in the punishment of the serpent, the punishment of the man and the woman, of Adam and Eve, there, part of that punishment was a lack of honor and respect for each other and themselves. To be conscious of their body and clothing.
To really become self-oriented,
To work, to have worries, to have things to do.
Right.
Think of how could the serpent feel good about itself When its legs were removed, it was turned into a snake, and God said, you will be a pain on the heel of man.
Right.
Which means man isn't going to like you or respect you because you're going to bite at his heel.
Yeah.
And look what he did to Adam and Eve. They turned into themselves. They turned towards the flesh. They turned towards the world that they never even asked for forgiveness or a return to Eden. They accepted it. So on a certain level and perspective, they lost their honor and respect for themselves.
You know, let me interject this. Paul, when he was writing, this is a real good thought because of what you said. When Paul was writing about husbands and wives, this is what he always tells the husband to do. Love the wife. This is what he always tells the wife to do. Respect the husband. So look at what happened in the garden. Because remember, one of the things that was spoken as a punishment for woman was, now you will be submissive to the husband.
Yeah.
So look at what's taken place. You're right. They lost respect for themselves. They lost respect for one another.
It's hard to honor and respect the guys when you have no honor and respect for yourself. You know, it's kind of funny. People say, well, until you like yourself, you can't like someone else. Until you love yourself, you can't love someone else. Well, there's a certain amount of facts in that. It's a perspective. If you're not happy with who you are and you're not happy with yourself, how is that going to be perceived when you're trying to have a relationship with someone? What's your self-worth? One reason why people that have addictions to gambling, to drugs, to alcohol, to pornography, to stealing, adultery, whatever it is that they don't think well of themselves. And since they don't value themselves, what's the mathematical odds that they would value someone else?
Right, right. Yeah, that's really good.
It's a type of insecurity. You know, someone who has a relationship with Christ, very rarely are they boastful or bragful about it, because they have nothing to prove.
Hmm.
The relationship, the conversation with the guys, the enjoyment of grace. It's like I always say, the closer you are to God, the less you have to pray for. And there's this self-destructive frame of mind that people get into, that if enough people believe it, if enough people agree with you, then it makes you feel like it's real. Across the board.
Sure.
I talked about men and women. You know, one thing that really bothers a lot of women is when a man is clingy. When he's always holding their hand, always got an arm around their shoulder, they're just tied at the hip, and he always wants to know who they're talking to, and there's just literally smothering them. And the majority of the time when a man does that, it's because he's trying to let everybody know that he's with this person, that this woman is with him.
Right.
Because if he is seen enough with her, and if she is close enough to him all the time, well, then people are going to go up and say, man, you guys are close.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were never apart. And this insecure man will get some type of validation that this person really does like to be with him.
So people do this all the time in a lot of different ways, don't they?
They do this all the time in a lot of ways. Like, you'll have somebody who parks their motorcycle in their living room and works on the carburetor on the coffee table. Their boots, their leathers, their chaps, their jacket is got scrapes and scuff marks and patches and sewn areas and it's weathered, and their boots are chewed up and torn up. And they'll go somewhere for a bike rally. And then there'll be somebody whose motorcycle is clean and shiny. Their boots are clean and shiny. Their leathers look brand new, like they've never even been out of the closet.
Right.
And you can tell who is the full-time hardcore motorcycle rider.
Hmm.
It's the same in my world, the world of horses and agriculture, farming and ranching. Before the show, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
But before the show started, Jim was wanted me to give examples, and I said on any given Friday or Saturday night here in Tulsa, and it's that way in most towns of size, that they have nightclubs for rock and roll and everything else. And well, there's a couple of large nightclubs in Tulsa for country dancing and country music. Well, everybody in the bar, for the most part, is dressed in a Western wear fashion contest.
Sure.
The latest styles, the latest colors, boots are shiny, clothes are new, pressed and starched. And everybody in there professes to be country, cowboy, cowgirl. But like I told Jim, I said, what's really interesting, on any Friday or Saturday night, there will be over 1,000 people in that nightclub, hooping, hollering, line dancing, and two-stepping, and drinking beer, and listening to music, and chewing tobacco, and just living the country life. But if you go in the parking lot, the overwhelming majority of vehicles are shiny, clean, waxed Japanese cars. If there are pickup trucks, they're also clean and shiny. No scratches from going through gates. No, the bumper in the back and the license plate aren't dented and manipulated by slamming into trailers. The tailgate doesn't have any dents. There's no rock chips on the lower rocker panels on the side of the truck. The tires are clean. The inside is clean. You look in the back of the bed and the bed is clean. And then every once in a while, there'll be a pickup truck that's got some scratches, some dents. There's always something in the bed of the truck. Tools, trash, feed sacks, hay, barbed wire, fence posts, something. You look in the cab and there's chore gloves and there's mud and there's dirt on the floorboard and dog hair and horse hair and cow hair on the seats. And you can tell that this truck is from the country.
Hmm.
And then you walk in the building and it's easy to spot whose truck that is. Because their boots aren't shiny, and they haven't been polished. They're scuffed, and they got scratches on them. Their jeans are a little faded. And they have nothing to prove because they're living a country life. But yet, there'll be people in there talking about, well, I rode a bull. I'm gonna be riding a horse. Yeah, I went on a trail ride. Because they have to be boastful about their activities so that they can get an affirmation and confirmation and validation from other people back on them to so they feel good that they are living the country life. Now, in Jim's world, we talked about golf. He said that there'll be a bunch of, right, Jim, though, you and your friends, you talk about the shot you made, the putt you made.
Right.
And how successful it is.
Right.
And I said, yeah, but if it's a table of professionals or expert golfers, the last thing on the conversation is
golf.
Is golf.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they talk about golf, it's not about their successes. It's what?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just about what they did wrong.
Yeah, like, boy, I really missed that putt.
Right.
Or what were you thinking when you teed off there?
Right.
And it's because they have an inherent confidence level of experience and connection with golf or to farming or ranching.
Right, right.
And this applies to anybody. Anybody who has any length of time and experience, whether it's an auto mechanic, a hairstylist, a baker, a carpenter, a plumber, they never have any desire to be boastful or prove something because they have a track record of experience.
Right, right.
And so they have an honor and respect for their accomplishments. Now, take what I'm saying and apply that to someone's relationship with Christ. If you're spending time with the guys and your prayers are being answered, and you have grace in your heart, and you're using grace in your life, exactly what do you have to prove or boast about? But yet, you have an inherent, obvious honor and respect for God because you're experiencing it on a regular basis.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm looking at a verse here, Proverbs 15.
Did you like all that?
Yeah, 15:33, that says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Well, we know from the scriptures that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So, see, the reason why humility comes before honor is because when a person submits themselves to God, when they humble themselves before God, they begin to experience God. And honor and respect begin to grow and develop in a relationship.
Well, look at the instance of when you pray, go in your room and close the door and pray in silence. Because
right.
Those who pray and have boastful prayers, they'll get their reward. In other words, he's not saying be boastful about your relationship with me. It's private. It's an individual relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at the lady that crawled towards Jesus.
Right.
It had nothing to do with Jesus. She didn't even want to meet him, shake his hand, talk to him, didn't even want to look at him. She knew that all I have to do is touch Jesus' blue jeans and everything is going to be fine.
Right, right.
And even Jesus acknowledged his non-participation by saying, something just happened.
Right, who touched me?
Somebody touched me, and I felt the love of my Father touch them.
Right, right.
That woman had a desire, and she had the honor and respect because it had nothing to do with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, real good. I'm over in Romans and chapter 8. And I'm going to read something here that I think will be helpful. It's in the Message Bible along this subject, because one of the killers of all this respect and honor is, as we've already talked about, if you have no self-respect yourself. And look at here how Paul puts this wonderful work that Jesus did for us, because in the 7th chapter of Romans, Paul's talking about what it's like under the law. About how under the law, when you're trying to prove yourself and trying to do enough to meet some particular demand to be able to have a relationship with God, he goes on to say, the things that I do, I don't want to do. The things I want to do, I don't do. Who can deliver me from this wretched man that I am? And at the very end, he says, well, the person that did it and the person that's already sealed it is Jesus Christ. He comes into the first verse of the 8th chapter saying, therefore there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Because remember, the punishment in the garden was all about turning man inward. Everything at that point had been man enjoying God. And now man has to deal with himself. And look at what happened the moment that he sinned. He became so humiliated, he found himself so full of condemnation, that he hid from the very presence of God. Everything changed in that moment. Well, we're still dealing with the repercussions of this, because this is really a part of the way people think. So here's what I'm going to share right here. It says in verse 4, the law always ended up being used as a Band-Aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Notice the emphasis is on what the Holy Spirit is doing in you, what grace is doing. In other words, you're recognizing what grace is doing. Verse 5 says, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. I know that was a little lengthy, but did you hear how much emphasis is on man is full of himself? he has to turn his attention toward God. Well, this is a part of our discussion tonight because I believe that there's a real amazing and wonderful connection that we can have to learn to have and develop respect and honor towards God. And that's not just respecting and honoring the idea of God, is it?
No, it's not.
Because that's what I grew up with right there. He's here. We know he's here. So let's praise him. Let's worship him. Okay, well, on one hand, you could say that's a start. But the better start is, why not just step back and look at everything he's begun to do? I think this is the part that excites me about tonight, BJ, and I'll just share it here. And this is what I've got from being around the ranch. Where my learning has always been about getting into the Word, and folks, that doesn't mean don't read the Bible, but getting into the Word, get scriptures, get knowledge, more knowledge about God and who God is and what you can expect. What I learned about how your particular way of seeing it is this. Why not, from the moment you get saved, begin to experience him immediately?
You're supposed to.
Well, that's the whole point, is one directs me into more knowledge and more scripture. The other directs me into an experience with God from the very moment you begin to know him.
A lot of people that stand in front of a congregation, a lot of people that go to buildings and structures, they're literally honoring and respecting the organization and the man in front or person in front.
Well, isn't that how it used to be years ago?
You know, going back centuries, monarchs, kings, emperors,
right?
They honored and respected their religious leaders because they were the ones with the interpretation of the book. They were the ones that spoke Latin and Greek, and they were the ones that were supposed to be closer to God and represent God. So that person was honored and respected over the word of Christ.
Right.
Over grace. And that really hasn't changed much today.
Right. Sure.
The fact that there is a wholesale across the board underlying subversive message of, if you want to be closer to God, if you want to go to heaven, you need to go somewhere and participate in an organization, in a group. If you need a prayer answered, or if things aren't going right, you need to go to Sunday school, Bible school. You need to come to this location at a certain time with a certain type of dress and participate, because otherwise you're not part of that special little group.
Right.
There is no mention of this in Scripture. It's literally just the opposite.
Yeah.
And this shows that there is a false sense of security, a false sense of hope, and a false honor and respect that is extremely shallow, that only serves the flesh and the world and is vacant to the Spirit. If you can't respect and honor the Spirit in you, the grace that you were born with,
right,
how in the world could you ever possibly honor and respect God's grace and the Holy Spirit if you can't first do it in yourself?
Right, right.
How would that work? How would that even make sense?
Yeah, you know, what you said there, talking about the way people have religiously learned to put so much respect into, you know, the individual, the person in charge. I think back to the Old Covenant and the part from actually the Matthew, Mark, and Luke back versus when Jesus came out of the grave and everything that went forward. Everything back there was about a middleman. I mean, the whole priest, the sacrifice, it was about no one could come to God. Just the priest could go behind the veil only once a year, and he had to do all kinds of things to prepare himself so he wouldn't die in
right.
the presence of God. And he would make the sacrifice, and everybody would hold their breath for him to come back out, which meant God said it was okay, and now your sins are forgiven for a whole nother year. Well, that's the old covenant, and that's how people thought. But here Paul says in the new covenant, once Jesus is alive, he says there is one mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus. So see, the idea that we would make people become everybody's source is really an Old Testament type of concept, because what Jesus did was to help all of us to have our own relationship right directly with God. And I don't think there's anybody outside of Jesus that does a better job showing us that, because he was all about what? Never taking the credit.
Yeah.
That's the part that I really appreciate. I mean, with all that Jesus did, he could have said, yeah, that's right, that's my power, that's my work, that's what I do. But what Jesus did is he always took all the credit and he gave it to the Father. And this goes back to being in the cowboy dance hall, you know, and seeing that the guy that's a real cowboy is not out there trying to impress everybody, because he does that all day long. Well, in a sense, you could say that with Jesus. I'm going to go over here to Mark in chapter 1, and I think this verse of Scripture will help you guys as you're listening. Listen to the way that... Mark says, all right, it says, and they entered Capernaum in verse 21, Mark 1:21. When the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. He spent the day there teaching. They were surprised at his teaching, so forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religious scholars. So what were the religious scholars like? There's no confidence. They're not bold. They don't have any authority, and they're quibbling and quoting scriptures.
That's all they have. There's no depth.
There was no depth. And so Jesus comes on the scene and immediately surprises everybody. In fact, after he casts the devil out, this is what they said in verse 27. Everyone there was incredulous. In fact, I had to have BJ look that up. Buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says. He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing. News of this traveled fast very soon it was all over Galilee. Well, that word incredulous means skeptical. It means
doubtful,
not sure.
Yeah.
Well, people weren't sure because of what? They were so accustomed to the religious leaders of the day having no self-respect or confidence in themselves.
Well, one thing I'm confident of and I'm sure of, you're not here. It's me and the brown dog in the barn all by ourselves. When the pasteurizer's away, the horseman and the dog play. Right, Ranger? She's just looking at me. Oh, she yawned. Ranger, wake up. Party. That's right. Jim isn't here in the barn. So if you would like to send an email, I'll read your email and I'll answer right back to you on the air. The way you send an email, it is the name of Jim's radio show. It's The Abiding Presence at Gmail. That's like in grandma's gravy, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Now, I will answer your emails right away, as soon as I get them. But your text messages, I can read the text messages, but I can't answer them because the mic's off. And so you're listening to a pre-recorded show that we did last Thursday, which was the 16th. But today is the 21st. It's me and Ranger having fun in the barn. Jim is completely unaware of the music I'm playing because he's not even here. Who knows where he is? We're just having fun without him.
Should I talk now?
Well, sure, you can talk, but maybe, okay. Just maybe. Go ahead, try to talk.
No, I'm not going to. Okay. I thought I'd be quiet there because you would have such a good time making me disappear.
Well, okay, where are you? I'm here in the barn. People are listening, but where are you on this?
I'm in Toronto, Canada.
Toronto, Canada.
In fact, I start preaching Sunday night all the way through Thursday, and then I head to New Jersey, and I'll preach Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday morning in New Jersey before coming home. So I'm gone, actually, a little bit longer than normal.
See, while you're in New Jersey, me and Ranger will be kicking back. Having a little
that sounds
fun.
Sounds good.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. I'm sure, Jim. I mean, really, I'm positive that there's... You know, there's somebody that, well, I mean, I'm sure you're missed. You know, there's somebody out there that misses you, right? Is there anybody that misses Jim out there? Yeah, see? You had a couple people that went, oh, do you really miss Jim? Yeah, see? Just a little sigh.
I thought I heard somebody crying.
Well, I don't know if you know.
Wasn't there a little lady that was crying or something?
I don't know. You really think that there's somebody out there that's crying?
I think they miss me.
Because where's Jim? Where's Jim? Where's Jim Huckaday?
Oh. See, I knew she felt bad.
Oh, I can't stand that.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Get rid of that whining. Get rid of the whining. Got to just, you know, just take care of it right away. Just, you know, I just, you know, nobody likes a whiner. I mean, really, come on, folks. Help me out here. Yeah, see? Listen, Jim, that's our listeners.
Okay.
No, nobody likes whining. Nobody. No, nobody at all. Likes a bunch of a whining stuff, but I don't know. It's now. How long are you going to be in Toronto for?
I'll be there from Sunday till Thursday, and then I go to New Jersey. And guess what's in New Jersey?
Well, I don't know because what's in New Jersey never makes it to the ranch.
It has to make it. Hey.
Don't be yelling at the listeners. Listen to that. Boy, a listener's having fun and what a buzzkill. Hey, no laughing on this show. Don't you just think that's just a little?
Well no, I don't. It's not ridiculous because what I'm bringing back is duct tape. There's no way I can even get in it to take your precious butter crunch.
That's right. Whether I get it or not, that's the thing. Will I see anything from Canada or New Jersey?
Well, probably not from Canada, except there are a couple listeners in Canada, some of our faithful listeners that'll be coming to the show or to the
looking meeting. Look, when you say that Candy's coming, looking for Candy, this is what happens when I look for Candy. No response.
Well, just keep looking.
Where's the candy, Jim?
Have you ever had an Aero candy bar from Canada?
Never heard of it.
Well, maybe I'll bring you back one of those.
You know, folks, all jokes aside, on this Tuesday night, while Jim is in New Jersey, it's me here alone in the central prairie of Oklahoma. Just me and my faithful companion, my dog Ranger, as we're here all alone bringing the radio show to you live. Don't worry, no matter what Huckaday does, BJ and Ranger are here. No matter what, on these cold, blustery fall nights, We're here for you, making sure that you get a quality show. Don't worry about me, folks. I'll be fine in this blustery, drafty barn, making sure that you get the show, even though Jim is somewhere else with no care or concern for us.
If any of you have ever watched Dumbo, it sounds exactly like the opening where they had the wind blowing and the storks were bringing the baby elephant through the winter, through the storm, through the wind and through the rain. Oh, my goodness.
Somebody call 911. I need to be saved.
I feel like I'm sitting in a stall.
Yeah, see, I called Jim, and that's what happens when I call Jim. Busy signal.
Doing the Lord's work.
How is that?
That's pretty good. We needed a little icebreaker there.
Then you realize.
What?
Well.
We lost everybody right there. There's
left. No, I don't think we lost everybody, but no, because see, maybe one person enjoyed that and everybody else just kind of tolerates it. And they said sooner or later, these guys are going to get their head screwed on, right, and, you know, talk about grace. But what's really funny is I would love to see the face of the person who's never listened to the show before. And this is the first show they hear. And they go, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
What are these? Oh.
Yeah, this can't be about the Lord and His grace.
But you know, we're talking about honor and respect, and we're talking about confidence. And I'm going to use what the sound effects and the fun that we just had. I'm going to use that as an example. Nowhere is it written or legitimized that the guys don't like to have fun and have a sense of humor. The fact that we can talk about grace and we can talk about advancement and the success of prayers and having a better relationship with Christ and at the same time have a good laugh shows that there is confidence, that there is movement, that there is progress and something is occurring. Because so much, especially today, it's all about the mighty dollar, and it's all about keeping things very serious and very professional. That enjoying a relationship with God is something that should be revered and official and very serious. And this is something that has taken hundreds of years to get to this point. It's a well-known fact, especially here in North America. I can't speak in other countries, but I can speak intelligently about the United States of America, that if it's kids in school, if it's a bunch of people at a workplace, and they say, you know what, we're going to go out after work and we're going to have a little celebration. We're going to do a little drinking. We're going to have some hot wings. We're going to make some jokes and we're going to have fun. And this is what they'll say. Hey, let's tell Bob. Oh, well, Bob's a Christian. He won't, you know, he don't want to have anything to do with this. Oh, he's a Christian. Oh, well, yeah. Or there'll be kids in school, and if you talk to kids that are growing and having a relationship with Christ, and they go to a public school, they don't go to a Christian school, they will literally tell you how there are parties, how there are things that happen at sporting events, and they're automatically excluded because they are trying to have a relationship with the guys. Their classmates, their peers, will assume they don't want to have fun, that they're a tattletale, that they're gonna say, well, don't do that, you'll go to hell. Now, where is their honor and respect across the board for a civilization in society to have that perspective on the people who are supposed to be quote-unquote Christians. How hard is it for an individual to have self-confidence and to have an honor and respect of their spirit, the grace they're born in,
right, right,
when their classmates, neighbors, friends and relatives, and co-workers say, well, they're Bible thumpers. You don't want to. One of the greatest compliments that I like is when someone finds out that I spend a lot of time with the guys and that I've had over 900 prayers answered in a blink of an eye. Because they literally say this, you don't talk like a Christian. You don't look like a Christian. You don't act like a Christian. You don't dress like one. I never would have known. Well, think about that for a second. Why should they know? What purpose would it serve for me to walk around in a t-shirt that said, God is good, God is great, and for me to carry a Bible? What would that really do for my relationship with Christ? Nothing. It's a known fact. The closer you are to the guys, the less you pray, because the more grace is in your life.
Yeah.
And more, the more the Holy Spirit does for you.
Right.
And so think about this and relate this to yourself, how you look at yourself and how you perceive yourself. Because one of the most humbling of thoughts, one of the most humbling of experiences that facilitate you to repent, to change directions, is when you have a mindset of, I have it. I got it.
Right.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah. It's good. I'm just going to read something here that I think will go with that. Over in Ephesians in chapter 4, many of you will recognize this passage, but Paul shares with us that God put individuals, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, into the body of Christ. In other words, he gifted them. He gave them a grace that's on their life, and that grace that's on their life is so that they would help to raise up in the church, in other words, God's body, the body of Christ, people, raise them up to begin to take on the same life and same experiences of Jesus Christ. And here in the Message Bible, the 14th verse, it says, no prolonged infancy among us, please, will not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are an easy mark for imposters. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so we'll grow up healthy in God, robust in love. And so I insist, Paul says, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. And verse 20 says, but that's no life for you. You learned Christ. So when he says you learned Christ, he's talking to people that actually experienced Christ. But they literally have lost their way. And it goes on to say, my assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have an excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. Well, folks, this is part of learning respect for God, learning honor for God, because there's something about your experience with God that brings you into a very healthy love and respect for who he is. There's nothing greater than when we're doing even the Wednesday night services, than to hear individuals tell me testimonies of the grace of God that they're experiencing on a regular basis. There's no more fun than I have than to begin to share testimonies of what God has been doing with me. Something so simple. I mean, just the other day, something as simple as I purchased a little car at a auction. Didn't spend much money on it. There was a few things wrong with it and needed to go and...
Lemon. What
no.
color is it?
Well, actually, it is yellow.
Lemon.
Yeah. A little sports car, actually, I thought I was going to get for my daughter, except I didn't look inside and saw that it's manual shift, and I don't know if she's going to stick it out or not. But anyhow, a few things that I had to get taken care of, and not just once, but multiple times when they said, I can't do that. We can't put that into your car. You bought a product that is a part that is for the car, but we didn't put it in, so we can't do it. And just ask them one more time. Well, maybe you actually could. Why don't you just ask and see if you could do it one more time? Well, this is your lucky day. The manager says he'll go ahead and do it. Another person came back and said, well, we can't do that. Well, maybe you can. And the next thing you know, they came back and said, well, I talked to the manager. He's going to do it for free. Wow, this is really your lucky day. Just the smallest of little experiences of God helping you, assisting you. It doesn't sound like that. It really does run well. We just had to get
lemon. Lemon.
Oh, my gosh.
Lemon.
This is what happens when you do a recorded show, and BJ takes such liberty because he's alone in the barn right now.
Lemon. Hey, buddy, do you need a jump?
You don't have one that sounds like a car, a race car that's actually working? Come on, find one of those. Show them what it really sounds like.
I just did.
Oh, gosh, you're so bad.
I just displayed exactly what that little yellow Jap can look sounds like.
No, it wasn't Japanese. It's actually German. It's an Audi German.
Well, it's not American.
No,
it's not Chevy, Dodge, or Ford.
No, it's not Chevy, Dodge, or Ford. Oh my goodness, we're back to the desolate ranch in Oklahoma with sage brush blowing. The wind howling through the rafters.
There's Jim, everybody. Stranded on the side of the road. Now, what you were saying, think about this, because you travel everywhere.
Right.
And you see so many people. And you've been doing the show for how long now?
3 years.
God, seems like so much longer.
It's really gone by fast for me.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Oh, yes, fast. Oh, fast. Right, Ranger? Fast. Yeah, see? You know that there are people who get it and they don't. Don't you see it on their face? Don't you kind of see it in the way they act and the way they talk?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, some are so blatant as one moment they're repeating what you said, and then they say what they actually think, and it's not even apples to apples at all. It's just so different.
Now, I want you to find some scripture that talks about, that uses the word honor and respect, that brings it up, the relationship that someone has with the guys. And then once you find it, can you read it in more than one kind of book? Is your machine over there working good enough for that?
Yeah.
And folks, remember, if you haven't gotten received, if you have not received any mention of your text message on the show this evening, it's because the show is pre-recorded. It's new. It's just that Jim came over to the ranch last Thursday night, and we recorded this for this evening, Tuesday the 21st. Ranger and myself are in the barn, so if you'd like to send a text message, the first word that you type in your message is the word grace. And then you send, when you press the send button and it asks you for a number, it's just 69302. That's 69302, 69302, first word grace. If you want to send an email, I will answer your emails. And you send them to the show, The Abiding Presence, at G, the letter G, gmail.com. The email address and how you text the show are available on the radio show's website, www.theabidingpresence.com. Did you find it? Or are you still shopping?
No, there's a bunch of scriptures that talk, like Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, talking about wisdom. She shall rejoice in the time to come. I thought this one here, like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. That's good.
Say that one again.
Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Meaning we give honor to God because of the goodness of God, because of the grace of God. Ridiculous it would be to give honor to someone that is a fool. All right? Right here it says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. This is good here. He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor. And then I like this one here. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, but before honor is humility. Again, I really like that one.
Yeah.
Because it just really helps put into perspective. It's the humble that actually receives grace or begins to experience God, who knows that he's true. And that's where your honor and respect come. Folks, this is a real interesting day that we're living in. In fact, I'm going to do just the opposite for a second. I'm going to go over to Thessalonica here and Thessalonians. And
there you go, race car.
Yeah, that's more like it.
You realize that the recording of this motor, the motor that's making these sounds, is bigger than the entire car. It's bigger than your car.
Hey, don't despise that little car.
That, folks, was a big block American-made engine, which would weigh more than your. Okay, what is it? It's what a what's your car? A Volkswagen?
It's an Audi.
Same thing.
Well, actually, you're correct. I mean, Volkswagen, I think, is the one that
yes.
makes that makes.
Do you
that.
Know what you know what in German what Volkswagen means?
No.
You don't? People's car.
Oh, that's right.
Do you know who invented Volkswagens? Created Volkswagen?
Was that Hitler?
You bet.
Really?
Your little buddy Adolf.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know if he's your little buddy
he's
or not.
My buddy.
Well, I might have missed the mark there, folks.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen to you. Oh, my gosh. Have you found these yet?
I have.
Are you even looking at anything that is biblical on your machine?
No, I am.
No, you're not?
No, I mean, I am looking at things that are biblical. Okay. Say something for just a second here while I find what I was going to find.
Well, folks, okay, I know what I want to say about honor and respect. Whenever you go somewhere, whether it's a restaurant or a store or, I don't know, you go to a company, it's real easy to spot who's in charge. They walk with a confidence. They talk with a confidence. When they say something, people listen. It's because the people know that person is in charge. And the really good leaders, the really good authority figures, they get a type of honor and respect from the employees, from the people that they lead and that they're responsible and accountable to. And that doesn't occur instantly. It takes time. It takes years for an employee or a person to have honor and respect for their leader, because there's a direct line of communication. There's a connection. There are tangible experiences that provide the person that is being led or the employee to learn to have honor and respect for the leader or the employer. It just doesn't happen instantly. It doesn't occur that way. Well, neither does honor and respect for Christ. It happens with communication, with a connection, with memories of experiences, with the feeling of grace in your heart, with witnessing grace in your life and in other people's lives, with answered prayers, seeing things change instantly on a dime. And you have these, and that's the fuel that fires the honor and respect. And notice that has nothing to do with anywhere, anything, or anyone other than ourselves and our own time spent with grace, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, with God. Did you like that?
I did. I've got this passage. Well, I just wanted to show that it's prophesied here, and Paul talked about the day coming, and we're living in that day where people have not one idea about honor and respect. And he says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed. And that goes back to what? Adam and Eve, right?
Yeah.
That was the punishment, being self-absorbed, money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people. Well, we're living in that very day where this is the type of mentality and attitude that's out there, and we have to fight for the right to begin to experience God, because even in the places of worship where people go, what they hear is more of the same rhetoric, which keeps them from experiencing God, but allows them to feel like they know or have a concept of God. There's one thing I want to share here, and then we'll see where this goes. But this is one of those things that stuff like this starts to happen to me now, because I'm starting to experience God more in my life. But I remember, and it wasn't long ago, I was looking up on my computer here the subject of fasting. And I typed it in, and what popped up on the computer was believe. And this was over in the Vines, and I was looking in the Vines dictionary. So I put in that word. So I exited out of that little window because it didn't work. And then I went back to Vines and typed in fasting. And what came up was believe. And again, I did it the third time. And it came up believe. So finally I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to read this. So I read it. And in there, this is what it said. When Abraham believed God, what it meant was he didn't have an impersonal relationship with God's words. He had a personal relationship with God himself. That he wasn't believing so much in what God said as he was actually putting his trust in who God is himself. And this is exactly the opposite of what we're getting in most places. Why we want to help you to begin to do what? Protect your heart against thinking that it's okay to spin in circles without your experience. Last week on the show, I asked BJ the question. I thought the answer was really profound and good, and so we talked about it. I said, there's a lot of people that know that Jesus is their healer, but they're not experiencing the healing. Why is that? And that's where, if you remember, he made the comment about, well, if you know that there is a God, if you know that Jesus, you know, came out of the grave, if you know that all your sins are forgiven, if you know that that you ask and you receive, then what else do you really need to do in order to just experience that? Now, that sounds simple, but it's not easy.
No, I think that I think there has to come a time, and it's different for everyone. And I mean that there can be a husband and wife, or brother and sister, aunt and uncle, grandchild, grandparent, best friends that can listen to this show together all the time. And yet what I'm about to say, it's about them personally. There has to come a time when each of us, in our own way, come to terms with our success and failure as it pertains to a relationship with the guys. And that's a very important thing to occur, because so many times there is a false sense of security, a false reality, a false message, an incorrect, misinformed theory when it comes to a relationship with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people feel that grace should fit itself and be and should accommodate itself to the world and the situations that people are in. Well, that's really an excuse, and it's a plan B, because why would heaven or hell really care about the day-to-day shenanigans that we put ourselves through? They really don't. They're of no consequence, and they are literally a blink of the eye in the spirits. That the choices we make, think of this, if you're going to steal, if you're going to look at somebody, if you're going to say something, you're supposed to chop up your own body to make it physically impossible to say anything or to see or to grab or hurt someone before it ever even occurs. Well, that is so simple and so basic and so effective. So much time is spent overthinking things and trying to make more of what it is. Because in reality, every single person that listens to this radio show is seeking a relationship with the guys that they already have. And so when it comes to the show's topic of honor and respect, what are the mathematical odds of really having honor and respect for Christ when we can't seem to recognize that they're already in us and with us 24/7.
In us and with us 24/7. I'm going to go ahead and give you two scriptures on this. They go hand in hand. Jesus said in John chapter 8:54, he said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." So here's the proof of that. He's talking to individuals that say that God is my God. He's my God. But they don't even know him. It's just a concept.
Yeah.
See, it's empty. It doesn't have anything in it. And Jesus goes on to say, I don't honor myself. My honor would be nothing if I honored myself. But my Father honors me. In other words, he's saying I have a relationship with him. And then look at what Paul said was the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Well, how is a child going to honor a father that he's never met?
You can't.
You can't. The whole idea of honoring is coming out of the relationship, and Jesus proves that. He says to individuals, my Father is honoring me, of whom you say is your God. But you don't have his honor because you don't even know him.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, this really goes back to the central focus of why we have to be very careful, because it's very easy to get into a praise and a worship and an honor and respect of God as an ideal or as a concept, something that's imaginary, but it's not real. Folks, if God really is for us, how much work do we really have to do in order to have some type of tangibility with him? If there's nothing about Satan or anything about this world that can harm us, Jesus proved that. He said over in Matthew 11, he said that I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to hurt you. Well, if the world can't hurt us, if Satan's in a 2,000-year timeout,
yeah,
why aren't we experiencing God if it's not for the fact that we're in our own way with a concept of God that causes us to want to work and try to put effort into getting God to do something that he proved when he raised Jesus up from the dead that he was already willing to do? Give us an open heaven. Give us an experience.
Now, the scripture you read about this, read it in both.
You want a different translation?
A different translation. So that, because everybody has their own perspective, everybody has their own idea of what reality is, and words mean different things to different people. So I like when you read, different variations of something.
Well, this one here doesn't, I'm going to try the Amplified. Of the one that talks about honor your father and mother, this is good. The Amplified says, honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well and that you may live long on the earth. I like that. It says honor, esteem, and value as precious. Well, the reason why a child can do that is because a child actually has an experience with them. All right, now, the verse in John 8:54. Jesus answered and said, if I were to glorify myself, magnify, praise, and honor myself, I would have no real glory at all, for my glory would be nothing and worthless. My honor must come to me from my Father. It is my Father who glorifies me, who extols me, magnifies, and praises me, of whom you say that he is your God. I want to read that in the Message Bible now. It says, Jesus said, if I turn the spotlight on myself, it wouldn't amount to anything. But my Father, the same one you say is your Father, put me here at this time and place of splendor. You haven't recognized him in this, but I have. If I, in false modesty, said I didn't know what was going on, I would be as much of a liar as you are. Well, that's kind of plain.
It is.
He's just basically put the whole thing on how real God is to him and why they exchange honor, esteem, and value one to the other. Respect.
Because there is a connection.
It's all about connection.
There is a reality to it. There is substance.
Right.
It isn't just smoke and mirrors and songs and reading out of a book. There's actually something occurring.
Yeah. Why would Psalm 46 say, be still and know that I'm God, if it was hard to run after him to try to find him?
Well,
we've made it so complicated by missing the point of this wonderful connection that's staring us in the face.
Well, see, look at the word still, okay? Now, remember that this is the King James Version.
Right. You want me to find that in another one?
Yeah. Okay. But see, think about the word still. It can mean not to move. It can mean not to say anything.
Right.
Still waters means that the water isn't moving. It's just stagnant. It's in one place. So the word still, S-T-I-L-L, is what they're saying in that particular scripture is, don't do anything, don't say anything, don't attempt anything, because you already have it. It's there.
Right. This is interesting. In the Amplified, it says,
"Hey, you're petting Ranger. Are your hands clean?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Amplified says, "Let be and be still."
See, let be. What does that mean?
Let go.
Let go. Let things be.
Yeah.
Don't mess with anything.
Right.
Don't do anything. Don't change anything.
Which is basically saying, get out of the way.
Sit down, shut up, enjoy the ride.
And then when he says, and know God, it says, and know, recognize, and understand that I am God. That's all about experience. Has nothing to do with just going through the motions.
See, in the BJ book, it would say, sit down, shut up, enjoy the ride, pay attention.
Look at the Message Bible. It says, step out of the traffic. I like that. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything.
What, however it's said or written, the message is that you're working and trying and attempting to achieve something that you already have. And that once you stop getting in your own way and you realize that you've had it all the time and how wonderful and glorious it is to experience it, then you can honor and respect appropriately.
And this goes hand in hand with it here in James chapter 2, verse 18. The Message Bible says, I can already hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department. Well, I'll handle the works department. He says, not so fast. You can no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, work and faith, fit to have together like a glove, like a hand in a glove. In other words, he's saying you can't just say something if you don't have the experience. It's going to be empty. And this is pretty much what's been happening in the way that we have been respecting God. You know, I can't get away from a simple thought like this anymore. When the presence of God becomes very recognizable, the idea that we could be all very into that and very, oh, wasn't the presence of God amazing, and yet not use it,
right?
Not take advantage of it. And this goes back to because we don't respect it.
Yeah.
We don't honor it. And yet here we could actually feel it, but didn't respect it enough to use it.
Because even if we think that, I mean, and this unfortunately happens the majority of the time, we may think that we honor it. We may think that we respect it, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because, as absolute and crazy as this sounds, we don't honor and we don't respect Christ because we really can't identify with him. We don't know what grace is. We haven't experienced grace. We don't have grace in our lives. We dream about it. We fantasize about it. We tell each other that it's wonderful and it's glorious. But yet, when the rubber meets the road,
right,
it's vacant.
Yeah. Well, I had someone recently made a comment, and with all good faith, made a comment to me, and said about how they stepped out to trust the Lord, and then it didn't work, and they said, well, I've done that. And then I looked at him, I said, well, you've done that, but maybe you haven't done that. In other words, there's a huge difference when something, I don't know where that came from. There's a huge difference when there's tangibility and substance to God and when there are just words and thoughts. Well, I trust tonight, this may be a little different. I don't know if it is or not, that you're getting something about this subject. Right now, of course, if it was a live show, we'd be having all kinds of, well, we trust we would. Last week, actually, we did really well with emails and text messages, I think.
I was going to say that we're about an hour and 25 minutes into tonight's broadcast.
Right.
And so I was going to say, if anybody would like to send an email, make a comment or have an observation about tonight's broadcast that you're listening to, I will forward those emails to Jim.
Okay.
And because how long are you going to be in New Jersey?
Well, I'll get them while I'm up there. I'll be in New Jersey past Tuesday, all the way till Sunday. So I'll get them.
Oh, you'll be there for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Oh, so folks, if you send an email tonight to the show and you want it forwarded to Jim, I'll forward it to Jim, and Jim will get that in New Jersey.
Go. I'll get it, and I'll respond.
Why is there a tennis ball in the barn?
I have no idea.
Did you bring Ranger a tennis ball?
No.
The girl wants her tennis ball. Where's the tennis ball now?
She brought it over to you.
Where's your tennis ball? Why would you have a tennis ball in here? I don't even see it now.
Oh, there it is, right behind her, over here.
Oh, it is? Here, get your ball. Here. Do you want your ball? That's a first. And I don't mean a first for your show. I mean a first ever that Ranger brought a tennis ball. Now, she's brought apples. She brought a mouse one time into my radio show.
Did she really?
Yeah, about 20 minutes into the show, she walked over to me, and there was a little mouse tail hanging out the side of her mouth.
Oh, wow.
And then all of a sudden, she went, and it was gone. She swallowed it.
Ugh.
Well, she likes her mice.
Yeah.
She's a good mouser. But I don't know what the deal is with the tennis ball.
No, I don't either.
But hopefully we're getting some emails and some text messages. But, you know, it's really kind of sad because when you're not here and it's just me and Ranger, nobody ever contacts us. It's just, you know, they forget I'm here in the barn by myself. I promised myself I wasn't going to cry.
We already went through the tears.
Look at Ranger. I'm okay. It's okay. Oh, it's okay. Oh, she got upset, didn't she?
Uh-huh.
Oh, bless your heart. I'm okay.
Well,
good
hey,
for you, Ranger.
Hey,
good
folks,
for you.
Here's a comment about our show tonight, just thinking about what we're sharing. You know, and I don't mean to devalue people's heartfelt honor and respect for God and worship of God. I mean, in one sense, you could say that's wonderful. It's great to see people that have a loving heart for that. I just trust that tonight's show will begin to help you to put more emphasis on really realizing how important it is to let God get out of your way and let God begin to be real. The scriptures we read over there in Psalm 46 were really, really good. I mean, that last one, especially with the Message Bible, said, step out of the traffic. Think about that. That's pertinent for our day. We're literally in the traffic, which means we're in the way. I mean, if there's a bunch of traffic and you're in there, if it's New York City and you're walking in front of cabs, I guarantee you they're honking their horns at you.
You know, I have a little opposing position on what you just said, that there's nothing wrong in, you know, the way people worship and stuff.
Well, I didn't mean nothing wrong. I appreciate their sincerity. I just want their sincerity to be placed here where they see how important it is to begin to experience the Lord.
My grandfather always said there's only so many minutes in an hour, and there's so many hours in a day, and there's so many days in your life.
Right.
That you really need to be conscious of the fact of how much time you're wasting or what are you doing. Does it have value?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps that's something that people may want to consider. The way they worship, the way they practice, the way they go about having a relationship with the guys. Is it working? Is there success? Is there productivity? Mm-hmm. Is there movement? Because in unfortunately, everybody, just about everybody that's ever listened to this radio show, me and maybe a handful of others who don't have any, you know, organized religion background, there's no real discussion of productivity and success and movement. It's about there's no end game. There's just a point. The road comes to an end. It's like a runway. you've got so long, and then all of a sudden the runway stops and there's no more runway. And they come to respect that, and they expect it, and so there's a an underlying current of subliminal message of you only go so far and that's all there is. And that's part of the quicksand of a false sense of respect and honor. Because you can respect that and you can honor that, but yet it produces nothing.
Right.
There's no value in it. There's no future in it. You know, that's why I say there's a lot of good people that are a lot better people than I'll ever be and lead better lives than I have or ever will. And their likelihood of success is not going to happen because they've literally placed their eggs in the wrong basket.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And unfortunately, that's nobody's fault, nobody's blame, but their own. Can they say they were misled, misinformed? Absolutely. I'll grant them that. But there comes a time in your relationship with the Bible and with your relationship with Scripture where you have a fiduciary responsibility to grasp the message and apply it.
Right.
You just can't sit in the back seat and say, well, I'm just along for the ride. I didn't pick this route. Well, you chose to get in the vehicle, and you never asked to get out. So whatever direction we're going, it's on you as well.
Right.
And this has a lot to do with honor and respect because everybody has things they don't want anybody to know because they really wish they could forget them themselves. And sometimes they can't shake it. They can't get rid of it. They can't bury it. They can't hide it deep enough. And it keeps them from moving forward.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because all our sins are forgiven.
Right.
It just seems that it's really tough for people to forgive themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
To let go of something and realize that it's like, you know, you can drop a coffee cup on the kitchen floor. And you can pick up all the pieces and you can take a broom and a dustpan and you can pick up all the small pieces and you can spend all day and all night long super gluing the coffee cup back together. And it looks like the original coffee cup. And it's all glued together. You can pick it up and set it down, and it seems fine. But you pour coffee into that repaired coffee cup, and there are all kinds of leaks. It's not a coffee cup anymore. It doesn't seal. Because when you dropped it on the floor, there were small little pieces that are never recovered. They're never seen and they can't be replaced. And it's the smallest of pieces, the tiniest of things that you would need a magnifying glass to see that are missing that causes leaks in that cup. Folks, we're all broken coffee cups. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes, and we can't hold coffee any longer. And the more that we hold on to the fact that we can or we will is part of the problem. Because Jesus' blood said, don't worry about being broken. Don't worry about the fact that you leak coffee like a sieve. I'm taking care of it for you.
Right, right.
In other words, until you have some self-respect, until you have honor for the choices that you're currently making and honor for the life that you're going to live starting tomorrow, where are the skills and tools to have honor and respect for the guys?
Yep. Well, that's good.
I just made that up.
Yeah, that's good.
The guys like it.
Yep.
Ranger fell asleep.
Yep. She got through playing.
I don't know how that tennis ball got in here. I really don't.
Well, she just brought it over to me all of a sudden and started bouncing it.
I know. So. You know, she brought one into the cab of the tractor yesterday. I went to hit the brakes, and there was a bright green tennis ball
okay.
in the cab of the tractor.
Well, maybe she's
sending me a message.
I guess so.
Hey, BJ, you dumb person, I want to play ball.
Right, right.
Are you ready to say something to music?
Yeah, I am. It's been a good time tonight.
I got to find something, because I'm not even close to.
Yeah, you've been playing over there while I've been gone.
I really went to the sound effects.
Yeah, I know.
I dug deep, you know, and this computer's got all kinds of stuff that I put on it. So I got to get back to just like radio show pages.
Well, that sounds nice. Well, tonight I just want to pray for all of you. I know that it was the work that Jesus Christ did for us that removed all of our condemnation so that we could respect ourselves again through Christ. In other words, knowing that He did something for us that gives us respect for Him. Knowing that He accomplished something in us that gives us respect even for ourselves. To be able to step out, to believe and trust Him and experience Him without feeling the heavy weight of mistakes and wrongdoings. But the moment you begin to experience Him, boy, you'll never respect and honor the Lord again the same way, because God is so real. So just like our scripture said, let's step out of the traffic, take a long, loving look at God, our high God, above all politics and everything else. And as King James says, be still and know that I'm God. Let's experience Him from this point on. Thanks for being with us tonight. Amen.
Well, what'd you think?
Well, it's good. It's a different approach, and I'm real thankful that we did it, because for the most part, just like I've learned all my life, to honor and respect Him, but most of that honor and respect was in the light of believing in the idea of God instead of really harnessing the idea that you can experience Him.
Okay, now tomorrow, even though this is a pre-recorded show, when people hear this, it'll be Tuesday night, the 21st. Wednesday, no Facebook.
That's right. There'll be no Hardesty Library, and there'll
shame be... Shame you couldn't do something on the road. What would it take to accomplish that?
I don't know. I might have to ask some questions.
It was just a curiosity thought.
Yeah.
Because what do you bring as far as equipment to the library to do Wednesday nights?
Well, one of the guys there has, he brings just a regular iPhone, and then he somehow, or an iPad, and takes the picture of me and then uploads it. Kind of like something like a Live 365, but it's not. It's one of those free deals that you can pay a few dollars and then get rid of all the commercials.
So if you had an iPhone and an iPad, and it had the right software on it, it could travel with you.
I'd take them with me anyhow.
And you could have someone say, here.
Oh, I'd just be in my hotel room. I could just set it up.
Yeah.
And then just speak to the people.
See? Hmm. Why do I always have to come up with all the stuff?
I don't know.
Well, how was it not being in the barn tonight? Wonder if I got any emails.
I'm right now, while you're doing what you're doing, time is an hour ahead.
Yeah, see, right now on a Tuesday night, it'll be around 20 minutes to
I had 20 minutes
to 10.
I had a meeting at 7 o'clock, and it probably would be done by 8:45, 9 o'clock, which would be 7:45, 8 o'clock your time.
Yeah, New Jersey's an hour ahead of us.
Yeah.
You know, when is the time chain? It's coming up. I should look that up.
I think in either the next week or the week after.
Let me look real quick.
One or 2 weeks.
Let's see. Time change USA. Oh, here we go. November 2nd. Sunday, Sunday, November 2nd. So that's 1, 2, that's 3 weeks away.
Yeah, 2.5 weeks away.
Yep. It's going to happen on a Sunday night.
Oh, your radio show.
My radio show on Sunday nights. Yeah, that
Have you had it before like that?
Yeah. Actually, many years ago when I was on regular radio, AM and FM radio, and it was,
right,
you know, being streamed, through telephone, and it was being transferred all over the country. At one time, I was on about 25 radio stations on Sunday night. Some were AM, some were FM. They all carried the show live. Well, anyways, there was a time change. And I always got to the radio station like early, like 45 minutes early, right?
Right.
But on that Sunday night, I had guests lined up. The guests had headphones on. They were sitting ready to start the show. And technically, I showed up 15 minutes late because I didn't know that Sunday night the clocks had gone back.
Oh, no.
So the show started 15 minutes late. Radio stations are throwing fits because they don't have any programming.
Oh, wow.
You know, people are calling, where's the guy talking about horses? And so I started the show 15 minutes late, and we actually went 15 minutes over. The back then the show was an hour long.
Right.
It went from 9 until 10. We went till 10:15, and you know what? The majority of the radio stations went ahead and went 15 minutes after. That was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, legally and technically and contractually, at 10 o'clock, they could have just
stopped.
Flipped the switch and said, well, you missed 15 minutes. That's your fault.
Right.
But, yeah. Well, folks, tonight has been another night of fun and merriment. And Ranger and I had snacks, and we had a lot of fun. Are you going to be here next show?
Yes.
Or is this another one of those 3 or 4 week strings?
No. I'll be here next show.
And for the people that are new to the show, welcome. And like always, it'll take me about 15, 20 minutes to get tonight's broadcast recorded. And then it'll be up and streaming. But last week's show will play as soon as we're done live. Jim will be here next week on the, that'll be the 28th. Jim will be 28th. Back in the barn.
Right.
So, folks, enjoy your week. Take care of yourselves and your horses. For myself and Jim, and... Good night, everybody.
Good night.
And remember, folks, dogs spell backwards.